Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
5:05 on the Fan. Very, very busy day. A lot of Giant discussion after their meltdown against the Denver Broncos. You could rewind on the Odyssey app if you missed any of the action. But earlier in the show, I also brought it up on air that, let's be honest, they've scored 66 points in their last 2 weeks, which is unfathomable if you've watched Giant football over the last few years. So I asked Sean, when was the last time they scored as many as 66 points over a two-week span? He has done the research, and we have an answer.
Yeah, my piece of paper's in the other room.
Do you got it? I got it.
I have it. Come I have on. It, though. It's two actually famous games in Giant history in back-to-back weeks. The season was 2019. Mm-hmm. The weeks were 15 and 16. One was Eli Manning's final game versus the Miami Dolphins at home. And the following week was the Chase Young, Andrew Thomas, loser gets Chase Young Bowl, winner gets Andrew Thomas Bowl when they beat the Commanders / Redskins / football team in overtime.
So yes. It was two separate starting quarterbacks.
Yep.
Two separate starting quarterbacks, 36-20. They beat the Miami Dolphins. The following week, they beat the Washington, then Redskins, 41-35.
So day my
77
born,
points.
I would tell you that you have to keep doing research because that doesn't count. That's two separate quarterbacks. How about the last time they scored that many points with the same starting quarterback?
They got close. The next 2 years ago, 2 years later, I think they scored 62.
Yes.
And I forget what the two.
Not quite 66.
They scored 45 points in one of the games.
Yes.
I think it was they've randomly scored a lot of points on the Colts in random years, right? In multiple games.
Right. I, by the way, coincidentally just found the answer. 2018. So we're talking about, who was the quarterback then? Oh, it was Eli Manning.
By the way, this is even sooner since 2018.
Back-to-back games against the Bears and then the then Redskins. They put up 30 in a 30-27 overtime win and then 40 on Washington in a 40-16 win. So 70 points over a two-week span late in the 2018 season. Pat Shurmur, Eli Manning.
Mm. Pat Shurmur, back-to-back years. I was listening. They were dropping this.
Yeah. 77 the next year.
How about that? There you go. But it's been a while, no matter how you cut it. Anyhow, it's Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. I think I got that right, and I stumbled. Brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. Okay. So, Tiki, obviously, you said your piece, Tiki. You were very upset with the 3rd and 5. I'm here to give you the 5 people I'm most upset with the Giant collapse.
Let's hear it.
All right, here we go.
Here we go!
Number 5.
I hate putting this guy on the list. Evan referenced it earlier because it's not really his fault, but it's why it's at 5. Roy Robertson Harris at 19-0, and he's a defensive tackle, so I am giving him a pass.
Yeah,
that's why it's at 5.
How can you expect a deep tackle to snag a ball out of the air?
Because it just hits him right where you got to catch it. Now, again, I'm not going to overly critical because there's a reason he's a D tackle.
Yeah.
But my God, looking back at 19-0, if he catches that ball.
It would have been an incredible play. Yeah. But I did have the same thought. Not that you have to make that play, but boy, he was close to really making a play.
Right.
Again, I'm not killing him for it, but it changes the game.
Yeah, it upset you because it was like, the game's over.
Yeah. And we all had that same reaction when it happened to Ritton. Like that sound effect. All right, here we go.
Number 4.
Tay Banks. Enough. Mm. The Broncos are being shut out before the Adebo injury. 33 points the moment Tay Banks came in. Not all his fault. Tiki brought up plenty of the Drew Phillips stuff. But Tay Banks's just refusal to understand contain on the run plays and Bo Nix running in the end zone as he's just left shook was worse than even some of the coverage plays he had in this game. At some point, you just got to say adios to a first-round pick and stop putting him on the field. He cannot be your depth either.
They don't have anybody else.
I get it. I don't care how bad Art Green is. He can't be worse.
That's true.
All right.
He actually had a pretty good preseason.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Enough with Tay Banks. Here we go.
Number three.
Hey, Jude McItamney. Feel bad for you, bro. Your job is Mick. Still to be a professional kicker.
McItamney.
You know, see, this is the other reason he's never going to be Matt Dodger. Can't get his name right. Can't get his name right. Kick, make an extra point.
Right.
I'm not asking much out
of you. That's basic. That's basic 101.
Here we go.
Number two.
I had this typed before Tiki explained the shell defense, but it's Shane Bowen to me. Only because of the Dallas game, and you explain why it's different.
It's different.
You don't have Dexter Lawrence and Abdul Carter on the field. You bring in Bo Braid and Nick Jones on the field. It's a mess.
Well, you could also simplify it with this. Even if it's not all on the DC, they gave up a historic amount of fourth quarter points.
Mm-hmm.
They gave up more points in the fourth quarter than the Denver Broncos have ever scored in the fourth quarter, and they employed John Elway. That's on itself.
Right.
Without even getting into the details of whose fault it is or why this happened.
Right. There was a bunch of historical stuff. Like Bo Nix became the first quarterback to rush for two touchdowns.
Yeah, and pass for two in one quarter.
It's like, how is that even possible?
You know what just came to me, too, as I'm doing this list? This is another inherent problem with yesterday. Tiki brought up the Dable 3rd-and-5 play, okay, of which we disagreed with or whatever. But the crux of Dable there is he's being overly aggressive, right?
Yes.
Okay, and that's where we could disagree on it. Shane Bowen, though, on defense, is doing the opposite. So to me, if Brian Dable's going to be aggressive, then in conjunction, maybe the defense should be aggressive because doing two separate entities like that, it results in a mess of a loss.
Right.
All right, and here we go.
Number one.
I'm still putting yesterday's loss on Joe Shane. The kicking situation, not admitting failure on Banks and Hyatt, his roster management decisions continue to show up when the team has bad losses. Mm. Every time it's a bad loss, you point to a Joe Shane decision.
You left out two people.
Brian Dable.
I'm going to put them together. No, not Brian Dable. Actually, someone who never even took the field. Two people that jinxed the New York Giants yesterday.
Never took the field.
Bob Papa and Sean Morash.
All right.
Both of you. First of all, do you have the audio of Bob Papa?
No, I could not find it.
I'm going to make you find the audio.
I went and looked and I couldn't find it.
There is audio of Bob Papa basically waving goodbye to Bronco fans. Or saying, oh, they're leaving early. That's one. Now, if we don't have the audio, I can't put them on trial.
I'm sure it exists. I've gone through, and I'm trying to find the timestamp. I have not been able to find it.
I will make sure I find it, so I won't be too hard on Bob, because honestly, until I have the audio proof, it's just hearsay. But hearsay, he was basically like, bye-bye, Bronco fans, see you in 4 years. But the
Eight years.
Yes. But then the other one is you. You posted a douchey picture of yourself with a belt in your hands with a smile saying, oh, belt to ass. You didn't even win the game yet.
All right. I'm going to defend myself because usually I do get myself into trouble with the mushes. Despite the fact the Giants lost yesterday, the Broncos talk like the Giants are going to go in there and score 9 points.
Stop it.
So belt to ass, get rid of it.
No.
And the other thing, I took.
They didn't beat their ass. They weren't even close.
Exactly. And the other thing I took a lot of grief on that I will take a victory lap on. I said on this show that the Jackson Dart was the best quarterback, not named Justin Herbert, SMY, you didn't clip that right, that the Broncos faced all year. Had that show up yesterday. And I had people, how could you possibly say that? I was right. Mm. I was right. Kiss my ass, Denver.
All of that other stuff is nice and fun.
Got that Ben Albright?
You lost the game, bro.
Okay.
So you can't be mocking pictures. I gave Lukey crap for this 2 weeks ago. I'm going to give you crap.
Wait till
the game is over before you guys take victory laps.
Did I pick the Giants to win the game on the show?
No.
Okay.
No, you didn't. But you did do a crime against sports fandom.
Which was what?
Which was taking out emotional insurance.
You took out emotional insurance like me?
Groceries were paid very easily today thanks to that Bronco win.
So at what point in this game did you pull an Evan and bet on the Denver Broncos?
Pulled out that trusty FanDuel app. And at 26-8 after the Theo Johnson catch, the Broncos were plus 850 to win the game.
That's my guy. I'm so proud of you. I almost want to hug you because that is so something I would do.
Plus 850. Now, the good news
is, if only the Jets had a lead for me to do it.
I think I even tweeted it. Shout out Evan Roberts with the slip, right?
I missed that.
So plus 850. And to my credit, I got so cold.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
What up in the whirlwind? I forgot I placed the bet until after I was done taping two podcasts, and it got to the third quarter of the Niners-Falcons game where I went to go do a live bet. I looked at my balance, and I said, wait a minute. I don't remember having that kind of day.
I have more money.
Yeah, and I saw it, and I went, that's right. You know what? Thank you, Shane Bowen.
Listen, it doesn't make you feel better, but at least you get financially rewarded for your team sucking the life out of you.
That's the way you're right. I would rather not have the money. But you know what? When I looked down, it was nice to just go, you know what? I suffered that. The bank account looks good.
Thank
you,
Sean. I also have to come clean about something.
Did you emotionally hedge too?
Not that one, but I didn't listen to you or Tiki's advice about not tweeting during the game. Mm. Right after the Ricochet touchdown, remember my something special is brewing in Queens?
Yeah.
I may have tweeted at 6:41, something special is brewing in East Rutherford.
Yeah, what was brewing was a golden Tiki Barber postgame show.
Well, hold on. Yes, exactly.
You're
right.
Not telling me after that Ricochet.
That was exactly the time that Papa said, see ya.
But Tiki, you didn't feel like that was
I have a time reference.
That wasn't a pixie dust moment, though, the Ricochet touchdown. Didn't you feel like there's a little magic with this team? That's all I was referencing.
Oh, yeah, that felt like the Giants, because they'd just given up a touchdown, and it was, it's not that you were, You didn't think they were losing. You just felt, man, this might be a game now.
Especially on 3rd and 17, like you said. Like I mean,
it's just like this might be a game now. The beauty of that play, it was tipped by Wando Robinson that Theo Johnson caught on Ricochet, is that it was a perfect throw
to Wando Robinson
from Jackson Dart.
Right.
It was a perfect on the money. Hit Rondell Robinson dead in the hands.
And it went off his hands. It was a horrible play.
And it bounced up, and as soon as it bounced up, you're like, oh, crap, because that's always an interception.
Of course.
When a ball gets hit like that and goes up instead of down, it's like, oh, great, that's getting picked. And then Theo Johnson's Johnny on the spot, scoops right under it and scores.
And it is the kind of magic that happens in a special season.
100%.
But think about it. A few drives later, the Denver Broncos scored on a deflection as well.
Yep.
Like, it happens.
No. The Broncos scored before.
Oh, was it before?
Yeah, the Broncos, their first touchdown, it was a...
They're right. It was before. So that negates...
It up and it diving in the back of the
end
zone.
That's right. So that almost negates the magic.
Yes.
That the first touchdown to Troy Franklin was also magical. Anyhow, so we've already figured out that Tommy was tweeting prematurely, that Sean was tweeting prematurely. We all love Bob Papa. He was broadcasting a little prematurely. Take a listen.
And now everybody in the Mile High will see in 8 years as they head to the exits.
It was way too soon.
Bobby!
Way too soon.
Oh, Bobby.
Way too soon.
I get the excitement, but I put this on Loogie, Sean, and Bob Papa. Bob must be thinking to himself, I got to be grouped with those two guys.
All right.
Let's go to Chris in Bayshore. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, hey guys, good show. Listen, I want to defer to Tiki on the football part of it and the plays and the X's and O's, but I got to say, I mean, you know, I'm putting my two psych degrees to work here. Daboll just does not have the mental or the emotional makeup to be a head coach. I mean, the guy, first of all, his 2-hour delay in press conferences, whatever. I know it's hot. The way he handles people, and every time he opens his mouth, he embarrasses the Giants organization. Every time.
What do you mean by
that? I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, he's so condescending, and he treats people like they have no idea what they're talking about. They have no business questioning him on anything. He's the anti-Giant head coach. Well, he is not.
He doesn't like to give away information or have you write a bad story or whatever about him based on something he says after a game and emotional. And look, he is extraordinarily emotional. I actually appreciate the fact that he doesn't go into his press conference emotional, because who knows what he would say.
Yeah, especially with the way you see him acting on the sidelines.
100%. If he didn't suppress that in his press conferences and just gave you nothing so he could get out of there, I fear what he would say. And it would probably be worse for the team.
Dude, it's to Chris, to everybody else, you got to win. That's it. That's all it's about right now at Brian Daboll. He's got to win.
His That's attitude, the only thing that matters.
The way he answers questions, it doesn't matter. It's the same thing with Aaron Glenn when we talk about it. He's got to win. Now, Tommy has a question for you about the final drive. Go ahead, Tommy.
Okay, Tiki, this might be the most...
Just the Broncos' final drive.
No, the Giants' final drive.
Oh, the Giants' final drive. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so they get the first and goal after the PI.
Yeah. By the way, there was a play. So, you know the 4th and 17 they converted?
Yep.
The play before, which was 3rd and 17, Jackson Dart could have run almost for the first down and made it so much easier if you were going to go.
And even if he doesn't, at least it's a 4th and manageable.
Exactly.
Instead of 4th and 19.
And probably 12 more seconds run off the clock.
Yeah. So, that's a good point.
Again, everything happened for a reason the way that it happened, but continue.
I thought his ankle, by the way, was banged up. And that's
I think
why
it definitely was. I think it definitely was. Because he didn't run much after that. It was the grass. Like his foot slid on the grass and it was weird. And he had it retaped and everything else. But go ahead, Tommy.
Yeah, this is extremely idiotic or extremely brilliant. So in basketball, you see teams when they have, 24 seconds left in the game, they will dribble it down to the final second and they will do a buzzer beater.
Yeah.
You don't see that in football. What if the Giants took a knee on first down to get the clock rolling?
Sean, why didn't you help him out again with this since we already talked about it? We went over that he works hard back there. He doesn't hear we talk about all these things. We did. And it's not your fault. I got you, bro.
First of all, don't blame me.
I am blaming
There's
you.
There's no way you guys take a knee to run the clock all the way down to the last second?
Time out.
Because Boomer brought it up.
Yes.
Tommy, and I'm not blaming him for this, likes to think I steal takes and ideas of his. Okay. So Tommy didn't run this one up the flagpole to me. All he told me was, quote, this is either going to be brilliant or a fart in the wind. And that's where he left it.
So here's the deal.
Well,
so
the 520 audience didn't hear it.
We mentioned earlier in the show that Boomer had suggested earlier this morning, hey, don't score.
Right.
Like, milk the clock. And I gave you my opinion, which was very strong. You cannot take for granted that you're going to score a touchdown. And also, what if there's a false start called and now all of a sudden you're on a 2nd and goal from the 6 instead of 2nd and goal from the 1? So I get it. I understood it, especially when you leave 33 seconds on the clock. Wouldn't it be better if there was no time on the clock? When you have to score a touchdown, not a field goal, to me, you always have to score the touchdown.
You score it as soon as you can. You don't leave anything to risk, because it's not to doubt, it's to risk by trying to take a couple of seconds off. You know how you take those couple of seconds off? Run it on 3rd and 5. The series before.
That's
two
right.
Series before.
That's
so,
right.
So, like, that was suggested. It's just, you can't guarantee your scoring in the NFL. That's the only problem.
I do want to share one small piece of positive news for Jet fans. I know that sounds crazy. Like, could there possibly be positive news for Jet fans? In a world in which the Jets are terrible, but we see former Jets succeeding elsewhere, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or Sam Darnold or Devontae Adams, I didn't even realize, but while the Dolphins were getting blown out yesterday, they naturally decided to go to their backup quarterback. You know what? Let's save Tua. And I had no idea that their backup quarterback isn't even Zach Wilson anymore, because he sucks. It was Quinn Ewers.
Wow.
So for everyone who lectured me, Sean Morash, Tommy Lugauer, hey, Zach's going to come back and haunt you. He's going to come back and haunt you. I've said it every time.
He's
not going to haunt us. He stinks. He is so bad that he isn't even the backup in Miami anymore.
And yet he could start for you tomorrow.
He probably could. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Let's go to Ivan in Pompton Plains. What's going on today, Ivan?
Hey, how are you guys? Liz, first off, love the show. My daughter and I listen to it all the time.
I appreciate
it. Question for you.
Yeah, we love it. You guys are the best. When you think about Dable's love for Jackson Dart, right? Yeah. He really loves him, trusts him.
No doubt.
Do you think that allowing him to throw on that play was more of short-term pain possibly for long-term game, meaning it's going to put him in situations that he's going to be able to handle moving forward?
No, I think, honestly, Ivan, and it's a good question. I don't think it is anything about lessons learned or anything of that nature. I think he truly believes that Jackson Dart can handle anything that he gives him. And I don't know what the preparation was. Like, if he was given that play saying, look, they're gonna all mug you. They're going to give you this crazy look. We're going to have it blocked up, which they did. They had seven blockers, Bellinger and Cam Scataboo, and the five offensive linemen for the seven guys that were at the line of scrimmage. And Jackson Dart has got to assume, I'm protected. Right? When he gets up there, his mindset is, I'm protected. I just have to find somebody to throw the ball to. The challenge becomes Alex, who had the interception? Singleton? Or no, Sternard. Sternard had the interception. He backed up, so he didn't come. So they only brought six. Cam Scataboo gets run over by Alex Singleton, and that trips up Jackson Dart. And so he's now off balance. He should just eat it. Instead, he tries to make the throw.
Mm.
And Sternard intercepts it. And we know what happened, you know, from then on. So I don't think it was about, I'm teaching him a lesson. I think it was, I've prepared this kid. I trust him. I think he's going to go make a play. And by the way, if he completes that throw to Theo Johnson, like it doesn't get intercepted, Theo Johnson might run for 15, 20 yards.
They win the game.
Of course they win the game. And so it was a risk to take, but it was an unnecessary one because that was a possession you could waste.
Yes.
It wasn't the most important third down of the game. It was the possession you waste. The most important third down was the next time you get the ball, right? When they only have one more possession in the game as opposed to two more. So I get why he did it. I just don't agree with it.
Chris is in Asbury Park. What's up, Chris?
I love you, Evan and Tiki. Tiki, I know you have a lot of connections, and I know you know a lot of people.
Uh-oh.
Yes. I need the address of the New York Giants kicker right now.
Stop it.
I do not have...
I can't take this team anymore.
Why won't we get a freaking kicker? Which one? You want Graham Gano or Mikatomny?
Just remember, and this is my maturity, so I'm going to teach it to everybody out there. Don't be mad at Mikatomny. Be mad at the Giants for employing Mikatomny.
There you go.
That's what you should be mad at.
It only took you all day. You finally got it right.
I finally got there. And guess what? It's too late because he won't be on the team. But that's where my anger would be. I would not be angry at the individual. I'd be angry at the people who gave the individual the power to cost you a game with his foot. Let's go to Nick in Eastchester. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
No problem.
So I was listening last week. Tiki, you mentioned something. Someone called in complaining about Mara. Now, let me just, like, explain my – this is about the Jets, but let me just explain my spiel about this, and then I'll listen. He complained that Mara should sell the team, and Tiki was like, anyone who complains about ownership and that they need to sell the team and that'll solve all the problems, that's really lazy. I was always someone who screamed that.
Yeah.
I'm a Jets fan. And it took a lot – I listened to that, and I did some self-reflection. I'm going to use a comparison here. The Knicks were so bad for so long, and they fired Steve Mills in the organization in February 2020. And I'm not saying that that is magically why they're good in the 2020s, but they became much better, and they're a contender. They only missed the playoffs 1 year after that.
That's correct.
This guy, the president of the New York Jets, his name is Jaime Elhock.
Yeah, we
know. I'm not saying that he is – okay. He is not the singular reason why. He's been with the organization – 26 years.
He's also
and
named,
has a harassment case.
No, I was going to say he's in the latest lawsuit that's against the New York Jets. Look, here's the way I look at Woody and the way I look at James Dolan. If they sell the team, I don't know who's going to buy the team. We got to keep that in mind. But if you're going to keep the team, you need to finally hire the right person. It took James Dolan a long-ass time to do it. And it's a combo. It's not just finding the right person. It's finding the right person and allowing them to do their job.
Right.
Much to the disbelief of many here, I believe Leon Rose is allowed to do his job, even though we heard otherwise after the Thibodeau firing.
And he gets to do it unfettered because he's not peppered by questions. He's trust me, I'm going to do the right thing and get the right players here and the right coaches, etc. And it's proven to be the case.
It's worked. So 100%. Woody needs to do that.
Instead of interfering with it.
Right. Now, can I criticize Woody Johnson for something? I need to speak for a lot of people right now. And I was aware of this, but I got to more details. So yesterday I was with my new family, Section 314 at MetLife Stadium. And we were talking about the yearbook situation.
Oh, God, here we go.
Can I tell you about the yearbook situation?
I think we've heard a little bit of this, but rehash it for us.
So forever, the New York Jets would mail the yearbook to their season ticket holders, amongst other things like presents, gifts, the whole thing. This year, they said, we're not going to do that. Apparently because they want to save money on mail. And so they put a little thing in your phone that says, hey, pick up the yearbook. Well, the lady behind me, longtime season ticket holder, was like, I went to 5 sections trying to find where the hell to get my yearbook. And then I realized, why am I going all over the stadium to commemorate this garbage season?
Oh, God.
And why is Woody Johnson and the Jets cutting costs on the season ticket holder who you're charging more money to?
That's solid.
You
That's
can't
a solid point.
Do that.
The Bengals Jets.
That's a solid point.
Thank you.
I mean, we're going to charge you more and give you less.
You cannot do that. That's not how you run a business. And that's not the only thing. I'm going to reveal something that I read on social media because I trust him. You know NYJ Matt? He doesn't like you, Sean.
No, I think we actually have a mutual understanding.
NYJ Matt, diehard Jet fan.
And?
He has a report. And I trust him. So I want to read the report on the air because you know what? I want to know why I'm going to read it? Because I so freaking believe it, especially off the backs of this yearbook cheapness. Can I read it to you?
Let's hear it.
This is NYJ Matt. I'm giving you all the love, bro. The Jets had food trucks at practice in 2024 each Friday. Woody decided to cut the costs and stop it. Aaron Rodgers decided to pay the $10,000 out of his own pocket.
For the whole year?
Yes. Woody was pissed that Aaron Rodgers went behind his back and undermined him.
Same old Jets.
So not only is this owner cutting the cost of mailing a yearbook to the customers that you raise prices on, but even the players, you're taking away small things like a food truck at practice?
The Jets suck.
This concerns me.
That's odd.
Yeah.
Because it's something the players want.
Yes.
And the only way to make a team or an organization, I don't know, player friendly and, I don't know, in comfortable and you want to stay there is if you do things like that. Right? Food trucks seems simple, but it's what the players want.
Of
course. Give what the players what they want.
And
especially if one of the players is paying for it.
Yes. And here's the other part about Woody. The people that are there, the people that are in the building yesterday at MetLife Stadium, they are the diehards. They're the sick ones.
Right.
They're the ones.
Because it wasn't full, was it?
No.
Yeah.
Full.
Yeah. So if you were there yesterday, you were a diehard.
You were a diehard. And these diehards are going to continue to give them your money because they're loyal. Not to you, Woody, but to the green and white, the franchise, the family, the lineage. Stop taking advantage of these people. I mean, seriously, first of all, lower ticket prices. I'm making a demand. If you're a real owner, lower your freaking ticket prices. Not on me, screw me, on them. You're already taking advantage of them enough, and the team sucks. They're the worst. They're the worst franchise in sports. So you want a nickel and dime on the yearbooks? You want a nickel and dime on food trucks? How about you do your fans a favor and lower prices on them? Because these people are your most loyal fans, and you're spitting at them in their faces. Thank you.
$10,000 for food trucks. How much are tacos costing now?
I think it was multiple food trucks.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, full season.
And there's I mean, it's 60 dudes.
And they're big.
And they're 30 of them are 250 plus.
So they're getting a lot of food.
Oh, without a doubt. They're coming out of there with like $50 a person, $50 or $60 a dude.
All right, when you put it there, practice squad eats too. Okay.
And all the coaches and probably other people as well.
All right.
Now, the challenge is they have their own kitchen.
So, right.
Like, we're already paying people to make food for you. Like, why do we need food trucks?
That's what probably Woody said.
Well, that's what Woody said, but Aaron Rodgers paid for it.
Damn right. Damn right. Who cares if he undermined you?
Right.
He stepped up. Mm-hmm. We'll get back to your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. And Aaron Glenn gave an interesting way he's going to decide who the next quarterback of the New York Jets should be. We got a full night of football on the fan. We're going to air both Monday night games. It's a doubleheader. Detroit-Tampa Bay, Houston-Seattle is at 10 o'clock. So both games will be right here on the fan. It's a jam-packed sports night because not only do you have that, you got a winner-take-all for the American League Championship this year between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Seattle Mariners.
Congratulations. You've earned the right to go get beat by the Dodgers.
Is that the assumption you're making?
I have to, don't I?
This is why I am so passionately rooting. I was going back and forth on like, do I want the Dodgers to win so that the Mets could be the team to knock them off?
Yeah.
Screw that. I need the Dodgers losing. So whether it's the Blue Jays or the Mariners, I don't care.
I agree with you, by the way.
I want them losing.
The evil empire. They can't be allowed to succeed.
Yeah. They're ruining baseball.
No, they're not ruining baseball. They're just annoying as hell.
I'm being sarcastic, promise you.
There is a Yankee rooting interest tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Big time.
I couldn't figure out what a Yankee fan would root for. Do you want to lose to the best like the Blue Jays? Or would it be too risky to have the team that you couldn't beat in your division beat the Dodgers, who you couldn't beat? So I don't know where you stand.
I now know I am rooting for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Why?
Vested rooting interest. And I believe every Yankee fan should.
Go.
Put aside the fact that the Blue Jays beat us and they danced on our grave. Tonight, if the Toronto Blue Jays win Game 7, Don Mattingly will make his first ever World Series in any kind.
Oh, wow.
As the bench coach of the Blue Jays.
That's right. Sweet.
So, yeah, that's actually a great reason. John Schneider commented on that before the game, how much it means for Donnie Baseball. So if you're an old school Yankee fan, Donnie Baseball going to the World Series, even as a bench coach, that guy deserves it. He deserves to go witness the World Series in the bench.
That's cool. I like that, actually.
That's your thing. I got no issue with that. Real quick, Aaron Glenn met the media earlier today and still has not decided who his quarterback is going to be for the Week 8 game coming up against the Cincinnati Bengals. But I want you to listen to his answer on what he's thinking about. Like, what is going through his thought process on if he should start Tyrod Taylor or Justin Fields?
It's always best on who gives you the best chance to win. And, again, that's what I think about. This is a week-to-week league, and you have to make sure you get yourself prepared to win every week because every team gives you different challenges. So my mindset right now is who gives us the best chance to win, to be honest with you.
So he's going best chance to win. Let's hear more from Aaron Glenn.
Well, that's something that, you know, I want to continue to look at. Again, it's early on Monday, you know, so I said this yesterday that there's a lot of thought that goes into that. For me personally, and then being able to get the staff, and then just being able to ask other coaches that have been in the situation, how will they handle that? So I'm not running away from the question at all, Rich. The thing is, I want to make sure that I make the right decision, and I don't want to make rash decisions either.
It sounds like he's going to ask other coaches their opinion. Is that weird to you, or is that smart to you?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
It's odd.
It's a little odd, right?
No. Hold on, let me take that back. I don't think it's odd that he's asking other coaches for their opinions. I think it's odd that he's telling us that he's asking other coaches for his opinion.
Mm.
That's what you don't usually hear.
I was surprised to hear that.
Now, he's being honest, so I give him credit for just being honest, because that's actually what happens.
Now, he has already told us the other coaches that he has talked to, so I'll give you the names. He talks to Bill Parcells, he talks to Tony Dungy, and he talks to Jimmy Johnson.
Right.
Those are three of the guys, all got off to bad starts, so he mentioned that a few weeks ago. Yeah, they got off to bad starts, too.
And they're retired guys who aren't invested in other... It's not like he's talking to Dan Campbell.
No, and that would really be weird.
Right. It would be odd. It'd be like, dude, Dan Campbell's got other stuff to worry about. What the hell are you borrowing with your... With your idiotic.
Aaron, I'm preparing for a game tonight. Get away from me.
Right.
But even Bill Parcells, who we all trust, and Tony Dungy, who's brilliant,
Do I really want them deciding who the quarterback is next week?
I don't think he's making that decision. I think he's just giving them advice how he should go about making that decision.
Mm.
Like, what factor should you take into account? Like, what's the effect on the locker room? If you make this decision and Tyrod Taylor is your now starter, what's the effect on the locker room? I honestly don't think that'll be an issue if that's one of the questions that's up there. And by the way, I know it is because Tyrod Taylor is such a locker room great person, right? He's a great locker room guy. So I don't think that would be the issue. I think the issues would be, is it fair to Justin Fields? Have you done enough to help him achieve whatever success you thought you was gonna have? And if not, why not? And is it just going to be the same thing with Tyrod Taylor?
So watching Tyrod in the second half, here's what's going to happen. They will move the ball more effectively.
Yes.
But he will throw interceptions, which Justin Fields hasn't done because he takes more chances.
Mm-hmm.
So will that lead to more points? Probably. But it also may lead to giving up more points.
Yeah, but
because there's always that possibility that your bad interception gets returned to your own 10-yard line or taken back for a touchdown.
Well, just think about the call we had earlier today. It's probably in the 2 o'clock hour where he called and basically said, yeah, I'm upset about the loss, but man, that was entertaining.
Right.
Like, the Jets aren't entertaining.
So who makes them more entertaining, Tyrod Taylor or Justin Fields?
Tyrod Taylor,
I mean,
without a doubt.
It's basically both snooze fests.
Right, but it's definitely Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, so I'm looking at it as, even at 0-7, I'd like to win games. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm being lectured that the Jets are better off losing. I've been lectured already. Big Mac told me last night, better off tanking. I tell Big Mac, get new shtick. Stop stealing Sean's shtick. But I don't want to tank. I want to watch him win.
Fernando Mendoza?
Well, that's a problem.
Who came into this year ranked as a third-round pick?
Well, he doesn't know who they should tank for. None of us do. Because we're not there yet.
And it's likely not. The best player in the draft is likely not to be a quarterback. It's likely to be a D-tackle or a wide receiver or something like that.
But it's not even about the player. And I remember saying this to you guys a few weeks ago. It's not even about I want this guy or don't want that guy. They have to show semblance of competence.
Right.
They can't just lose every week. Like, I'm not saying I want the Jets to beat the Bengals because I think they're going to finish 10-7. I kind of know it's not going anywhere, but I don't minimize wins the way a lot of modern fans do. They minimize it. They say, well, you're better off losing, better draft pick. Simple as that.
Right.
And I kind of share your thoughts, as we've talked about this over the years, that there's a value to winning games. May not feel like it, may not be obvious, but there's a value to it. So, long story short, I want to win games, and the guy who gives them the better chance to win, to me, is Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's the answer. By the way, the top three guys on the big board that I'm looking at are all defensive guys.
Yeah.
Which could help. You may not have to be the first pick. The good news is, and this is not a troll, for 1-7.
You can't stall before you say a word.
Yeah.
When you started by saying, this is not a troll.
Because you always respond with, I have been a hater.
You're about to troll.
Saying, with all due respect, you're an
ass. I'm saying something factual.
Go ahead.
In past years, when Tommy or me would argue about the Giants tanking, and we had legitimate conversations about whether the organization pulled back players or anything, you were in a weird spot as a Jet fan where it doesn't really matter if you have to root for a tank or not. You're probably spiraling towards the first or second pick, regardless of what you sit down and do.
Now, because there isn't an obvious quarterback to take, I don't think it matters.
Yeah, well, there isn't an obvious quarterback to take yet. Like, could it become obvious in the next 4 weeks?
We're halfway through the college season.
I know, but if Fernando Mendoza continues to play really well.
Fernando Mendoza, before this season started, was a third-round
projected. So is Joe Burrow.
Yeah, but...
No, I'm being serious. Joe Burrow was not projected to go number one overall.
But Joe Burrow was different because of what he was asked to do. We had no idea what Joe Burrow was actually going to look like. His offense was, don't screw it up. Just hand the ball off, and this is at LSU, just don't screw it up. And then all of a sudden, Joe Brady becomes their coordinator, whatever. He created the offense down there, and it was like, we are open this thing wide the hell open. And he had the greatest college football season of any college football player ever. And so you saw it. You saw the potential there, but you didn't know because he hadn't been in that type of system. I think at Indiana, Fernando Mendoza has been in the system for a minute.
I know, but now they're like an elite team in the country.
I mean,
they could win a national championship.
I agree.
And so I'm not saying he's going to. I have no idea. I haven't watched enough of him. I'll tell you what I did do last night to show you where my mind is going. I hit a button on my DirecTV stream. Very important button.
Which is?
Record all Indiana games.
Nice. Or just go to YouTube and watch it.
I could do that. Easy. I could do YouTube, but I did the DirecTV stream. Like, I got Mets record all, Knicks record all, Yankees record all, so the games automatically are saved.
Right.
First time in my life I did it for Indiana. So I'll be scouting. But my only point is, I don't know what the boards are going to look like in mm-hmm. 2 or 3 months, but I do think there's a value in winning. Now, to your point about tanking or not tanking.
I 100% agree with
that. Yeah, but here's the other thing that I found interesting last night just looking at Tankathon. The New Orleans Saints play all the other bad teams at least once. Mm-hmm. They play the Titans. They play the Jets. They play the Dolphins.
Right.
So the Saints are like this odd team that could have a real impact on who gets a second win or if they get a second win. And so the fact that all these other bad teams, because I think right now when you look at the bottom of the standings and, dare I say, the top of the draft, the teams that are jumping out at you are Miami, Tennessee, the Jets, yes. and New Orleans.
And you know,
and the Saints play all of them.
Right, and Tennessee's not taking a quarterback, so it's not,
that is
you're
true.
Not even worried about that.
But you know why I worry about them? If we're talking about this, once you're in that spot, you control the draft.
True.
So you could trade it to somebody yeah. that would take a quarterback.
Right.
If that's what it comes down to. Let's go to Josh in Queens. What's up, Josh?
It's just another manic Monday. The Jets just suck. They ripped my soul away. And Justin Fields takes the sack every day. Boys.
Yes.
I can't handle these Mondays. I love talking to you. There's no joy on my way home from work than talking to you. But talking about the same recycled conversation is eating my soul away.
That's why we haven't talked much about the Jets.
No, we barely talked about it.
Thank God. Them. Now there was a caller before who brought up a really great point about this team and about just the kind of like the infrastructure issues that are having. So right. one team point and one player point,
yeah.
If I may. So the team point is in the off season, there's always a report that comes out where is your team, where are the facilities, mm-hmm. where are you ranked,
right.
And the Jets got an F. So it when you have my guy NY Matt come out with the food truck, it makes perfect sense.
No, that's why when I saw him say it. And I trust him. I was like, oh, this is true. I'm going to talk about it on the air.
Right.
It's not like one of those things someone would make up because it fits what this franchise is.
Right.
And by the way, those
grades are from the players.
Right. They're not, you can't argue the media is being unfair to you
yeah.
or sports talk radio is being unfair to you. It's from the players. And the reality is with the Jets right now, from every level of the organization, they are horrific.
Mm-hmm.
They are horrific on every level. And I don't know how it gets fixed. Like, is it just sitting here and waiting and hoping it gets fixed? Is it hoping that Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji save the players' side? I don't know. They have to show you something to get a yeah. second year, though.
Yeah. It's a tough one because I worry about the organizational culture. Forget the football team culture. The organizational culture there. That's what you start to question when it doesn't matter what the staff is like. You just never figure it out. It's the one thing when the guy called last week and was talking about John Mara should sell the team. It's like, you have no idea how great of a place it is to work for the New York Giants. I'm not talking about the on-field product. I'm talking about the organization. And you can't say that about the Jets.
No, the Jets are bad at everything right now. It's sad. Sonny in Malvern. What's up, Sonny?
Hey, guys. How are you, Teak? How are you?
All's good, dude.
Yeah, listen, as a Giant fan who's enjoyed 4 Super Bowls and obviously, unfortunately, a lot of bad football over the last 7 years, advice to the Giants fans, forget about yesterday's game and look at the big picture. Did I go to last night? Was I heartbroken? Yes. Did I go to bed with tears coming down my face? Yes. But did I wake up this morning knowing that for the next 10 years on every Sunday, football Sunday, I'm going to be playing golf, going to church, and then watching competitive, winning Giant football? The answer is yes. Did I go to bed knowing that Jackson Dart is now not only the face of the New York Giants, but possibly the face of the NFL, and get ready for the Giants to be on Monday night and Sunday night football, guys. So, yeah. Listen.
No, you're right about that, Sonny.
Giant fans, please, because we got a great team. Listen, we can't forget about the first 3 quarters of what the Giants did, guys.
I agree. Sonny, look, you're right. And here's the thing. The Giants have gotten to the point where I am criticizing a moment in the game. I'm not talking about this team sucks. You need new line. You need new coordinators. You need new whatever.
We're criticizing a moment in the game because they're so good. And people want to hear when I say these things, they hear I'm saying, oh, the coach stinks. No, the coach is good. I believe in this coach. But there was a moment in the game that cost them the game, right? That has nothing to do with me believing whether or not this team has viability or the coaching staff has viability. I actually think Dabes and Shane Bowen did a very good job preparing them for a very hostile environment. The Denver Broncos look like, when you watch them, that they suck. But they're 5-2, dude. they are
in first place in the AFC West.
They are what your record says you are, yeah. Right? And so I don't care what it looks like. They know how to win games. The Giants, you get upset because they're still like there's that tipping point. You know that book, that tipping point where you just get over it and all of a sudden it feels easy and how to win games. By the way, thank you, SNY. Sorry I didn't say goodbye. Brought to you by the Tri-State Cadillac Dealers. Baseball Night in New York is coming up next. You missed it, but whatever. The point is, ultimately, I feel like when we get to the point where we're criticizing a play or two plays and not the whole game plan and the whole staff and the roster makeup, you've started to achieve progress. The Giants are taking steps in the right direction. Now they have to figure out how to win close games.
Yeah, I like that phone call at 5:55. I wouldn't have liked that phone call at 2:55 mm-hmm. because I think that on a football Monday, there's that period of anger, grieving,
right.
And then, oh, okay, things aren't that bad.
Right.
And for everybody, it's different. For me, it's Monday night, maybe Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, where you move on from the disgusting result of a football game and say, damn, I'm excited about the future.
No, yes.
And yesterday's game featured two kind of diametrically opposed things. A brutal loss that you may never forget,
mm-hmm.
along with the belief that you have your quarterback.
Yeah.
And so I would not be able to celebrate that last night. I would not be able to say, this is great. I got my guy. Don't worry. I'd be angry. I'd be pissed off. And quite frankly, Sean wasn't pissed off. Tommy wasn't pissed off. The only one pissed off was Tanky Barber.
Yeah, because I think they should win these. They should have won these games.
Damn right.
They should be 4-0 in the Jackson Dart era.
You are damn right about that. So me and you have more in common than you realize.
It's just a missed opportunity.
Yes.
A light bulb just went off for me. I thought Tiki, the way he just explained that, made me realize what Tiki was talking about even more. And putting
last
that
night.
Yeah, like, okay.
Right. I'm not saying Dave sucks. I'm not right. saying this offensive line. Think about what we talked about the last 2 years.
I know.
Everything's got to go.
You're
Get
right.
rid of everything. I'm not talking about. I'm talking about a play. That's really all I care about is a play.
And us arguing and disagreeing on a play from a game that determined a win or loss, that's actually freaking refreshing.
It is. Because you were trying to get big picture.
Yeah.
I was staying myopic.
Yeah.
I was only on one thing.
I get it now.
One thing made the difference in that game.
How come you get it when I say that to you guys all the time?
No.
We don't have to go big picture right after you lose a brutal game.
No.
It's the moment. It's the game.
He was thinking big picture. And he's right. Both of us were right last night.
Not last night in the moment. I don't think you're right last night to think that. I'm sorry. It's a football game. You only have 17 of these. You should be pissed off about what happened.
He's thinking big picture. And he's right, big picture. We're flawed. We don't have enough depth in our defensive back room.
Yeah.
Clearly, right? We don't have a kicker, right? And this has been a problem for years. It's a big picture thing that's important to talk about, but it's a big picture thing that's hard to fix, apparently. But what I was talking about was why they specifically lost the game last night, and that was a play. It wasn't eight plays. It was a play.
Yes.
When was the last time you could criticize a play making a difference in a Giants game and not, man, that quarter sucked. Man, that half sucked. Man, that whole game sucked. We have no competitive players against the best teams in football. I can't say that anymore. This Giants team is competitive against the best players in this game. And that's something. Brian Burns is in the conversation top five of DPOY. He gets a sack or two every game, not to mention a couple of pass breakups. They have really good players on this team. And this is all without Malik Nabers, who next year is going to be a stud, you hope. So if he comes back from his ACL, MCL, whatever, meniscus injury. So, like, I'm optimistic about this Giants team for the first time in a long time, to the point where I get pissed off about a play.
As you should.
A play. Not a series, a play.
A play that cost you a football game.
Yes.
And 3-4 and 2-5 are very different.
100%.
It is very different, especially staring at what we're staring at on Sunday, which is a rematch with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.